Father, we thank you for your presence today. Thank you, God, for gathering us here. Lord, for friends and guests, we thank you, Lord, so much for bringing us together to hear your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's good to have Crystal and Josh here today, all the way from Florida. I thank them for bringing warm weather with them. Hallelujah. And also, it's wonderful to have Billy and his wife back with us. I'm sorry, I'm blank on your first name. Deb, that's it. Billy and Deb, glad that they are back. They've been gone for about 6 months, so we're glad they're back in town. And thankful to have them today. And all of you that are here today, if I didn't call your name, it's good to see you. And we have several people traveling. They promise they'll be back by the first of the year. So we want to fill the house for Bishop. Amen? Amen. So this morning, we thank God for his word. Amen?
Amen.
Pastor Leonard saw the message title this morning and he came up and he said, Micah means, who is like Jehovah? And he reminded me that when our grandson Micah lived with us, they went through the book of Micah together. And Micah took lots of notes in his Bible. And Pastor Leonard likes to do that. Do you put notes in your Bible?
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people won't write in their Bible, but it's really a good thing. It's not a bad thing. You can write in your Bible. So this morning, we are going to look at an interesting passage of Scripture, and it's in the Old Testament. Like I said, it's in the book of Micah, and Micah is asking the questions, just what is it that God really wants from us, or what should we be offering God? You know, there's an old proverb, and you might have heard it, that says the only gift worth giving is yourself. Maybe Paul was talking about that, or I think Paul stated it best, the Apostle Paul in Romans 12:1, when he said, I urge you, brethren, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And this is the season to give, isn't it? You have all your Christmas shopping done?
Yes?
Yes? Did everyone say yes? We know that Leslie has hers done. Hallelujah. And it's a time of generosity. It's a time when we often spend more than we can really afford. I heard a commercial on the radio, I think it was yesterday, and it says, put some happiness back in your life. Get a loan for your Christmas gifts. Then you'll feel happy again. Like, who are you kidding? Not real happy about the payment. But it seems that the custom of giving gifts to Jesus was established by the wise men. But that's changed. Now we don't bring gifts to Jesus very much as we do to one another. And as we're thinking about buying that person a gift, you know, we can spend a whole lot of time trying to figure out what it is, how much you can afford to spend. And you go through inconveniences to get that gift that you think that they want. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Because I think we all do that because we love people and we want to make sure. It's like my grandkids at Thanksgiving time, I gave them each a piece of paper. And on the paper it said, list 5 Christmas gifts you would like to receive under $40. Now see, they thought that $40, 5 gifts, yes! I said, Mimi's not spending, and Papa, we're not spending that much money, but I want to have options when I'm shopping.
Yeah.
So they made their list, and then I asked them to list three things we could pray for them about. And it was really a nice project. They spent a lot of time and put a lot of effort into it. Some of them were even sending me links on my phone, you know, for the gifts that they want. So when we got back from Cancun, which, by the way, we had a wonderful trip. Yes, it was wonderful. And when we got back, I had to start Christmas shopping because I hadn't done anything yet. So I think we're almost done. It's called Amazon.com. So we can spend a lot of time just getting the right gifts for one another because we love one another. And there's something about human nature that's generosity. But when we think about the original meaning of Christmas, it was because of Jesus Christ. He's the gift to the world. And the wise men took him some very expensive gifts. So I wonder today if we just took this Christmas and made a commitment to the Lord to spend just as much time and energy and thought about bringing a gift to Jesus. And I wonder if the prophet Micah, he must have been going through some kind of a dilemma. And when you study the history, the children of Israel had been very disobedient and they were really dreading the judgment of God coming on them. And so they were contemplating about what to give to God for their sin. So here we are in Micah 6, 6 through 8, and I'll read for you. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Micah asks the question, what shall I offer or bring to the Lord? And the first thing he thinks of is calves a year old, burnt offerings. Calves were offered for the sin. Are we there? Oh, it's there. It's not there. So, you know, we could turn our seats around and watch the PowerPoint on the screen. But the second thing he talks about is 1,000 rams. Well, it's a little extravagant and a huge expense that you would just slaughter your whole flock. But it sounds like they were desperate to try and please God. And then they talk about rivers of oil. Well, nature doesn't even provide rivers of oil. And oil at that time was very, very expensive, just for small amounts of oil. So rivers of oil, you can see how it was just kind of over-exaggerated and very expensive. And then Micah realizes, no, God doesn't want any of these things. The gifts God wants, and it's called the Micah mandate. The gifts God wants is, number one, God wants you to act justly. Number two, God wants you to love mercy. And number three, God wants you to walk humbly with your God. So I wonder what Christmas would be like if we all would make a decision to commit to giving ourselves to the Lord in these three areas. And we're going to take a look at them. The first one is act justly. And there seems to be little justice in the world. Many, many things are unfair. It seems the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And bad people seem to succeed, while the good ones sometimes seem to have much less. And so sometimes things seem topsy-turvy, and it's hard to determine sometimes what justice really is. There's an old joke that says, steal $10 and you'll go to jail. Steal $1 million and be elected to Congress. But this scripture says to act justly or do things with a sense of right and wrong. Biblical references to the word justice means to make right. From a scriptural point of view, justice means loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. And it's rooted in the very character and nature of God. As God is just and loving, so we are called to do justice and live in love. So I'm just thinking this morning about justice. And like I said, sometimes it doesn't seem right. It's like we just had the case of that went to court for the person that hit those three children at the bus stop and killed them. That is so tragic. And the family did not like the sentencing that the person received, and I think that they're repealing that. But it's like for them, that was not justice. So, the courts will decide. But I wonder if we, who are a part of the church, would wrap up a gift. We wrap it up in our heart. You know, you make a heart decision. And you bring it to the Lord. You know, and it's, Lord, we don't care what else the world may do. But we, as your people, will be fair with one another. We promise not to cheat. We promise not to lie. We promise to be fair in our business dealings. We promise that we will not exaggerate and lie to our customers. We'll always be honest in the things we say. We'll always be fair and just in the things that we do. We've promised to be fair with people regardless of where they have come from. We'll never talk unjustly about them. We won't gossip. We won't complain. We'll not argue or fight with one another. We'll always be fair. We're going to need the help of the Lord, aren't we? Amen. But what would it look like if God's people, if the church of Jesus Christ acted justly? And so as we're entering this next year, you know, it's a fresh start, a new beginning. Lord, I want to act justly. This is what I am bringing to you this Christmas, Lord. And the next thing was love mercy. Love mercy or embrace loving kindness in our hearts. God told Micah to love mercy, to love kindness. And the Bible says love is always patient and it's kind. And sometimes it's difficult to find kindness today. We were talking this morning. I said, you know, when you go down south, the men are just like, they'll fall over themselves to get a door open for you or to help you with something. It's part of the culture in our southern states. But I honestly, I've held the door for more men walking into stores, and a lot of times they'll just stand there and look at you and wait for you to open it for them. I was talking to Gabe about that, and Gabe says, oh, ever since, I'll open the door for anybody. I always go and get the door for people. And you know, that is one act of kindness we can do. I don't mind open a door for a man, but honestly, I have smiled and said, sure, I'd love to open the door for you. But just those little acts of kindness. Hallelujah. Perhaps you've heard about the woman who never swore, but she caused everyone around her to swear. I can remember my mom would say, now that's enough to make a preacher cuss. So we know when we're treated unkindly how that feels inside, right? There's this sinking feeling that comes on the inside of us. And then you start having thoughts, well, these people really don't care about me. Nobody cares about me. And you feel rejected. And I thought about in the New Testament, whenever a leper was coming close to a group of people, they had to yell, unclean, unclean. And how they must have felt when people looked at them and ran away from them because they were coming. And they were separated, you know, from their homes and their families. But Jesus showed kindness to them. When Jesus saw them, he went to them and he reached out to them. He touched them. He prayed for them. And he treated them with kindness. And the result was they were healed. And then I thought about the woman that was at the well. How many husbands had she had? Was it you've had five husbands and the man you're with now is not even your husband? Is that what Jesus told her? You know, and she was a Samaritan woman and they were a mixed race. And so they were already hated and separated. And the Jews weren't even supposed to talk to them. But here is Jesus at the well at noon. And you know, this woman must have avoided going out in the busy times of the village because most of them went in the morning to get the water in the cool of the day or in the evening in the cool of the evening to gather the water to carry it. But probably to avoid the crowd and all of the remarks and all of the unkindness and rejection because of the life she was living. There was Jesus at the well, and he treated her with kindness, and he spoke to her. He told her the truth. He told her the truth, but he was not unkind. So rather than feeling rejected, Jesus spoke life into her life. And she went back and told everybody back at the village, I met a man who told me all about myself. And shared the love and the kindness that the Lord gave to her. So kindness is a good gift to bring at Christmas time. When we make a commitment to bring God the gift of kindness, we're reminded of how kind he is to us. And often, if you want to receive kindness, then you've got to give kindness. So the third thing was, walk humbly with our God. And walk humbly, that is, recognize that there is little we can do for God except try to abide by His word, which includes upholding justice, loving mercy in a humble way. So the Lord told Micah that He wanted this third thing was to walk humbly with our God. You know, Jesus came into a world that was not impressed with humility. He came into a world that was influenced by Greek culture and art, and people were arrogant and proud. They thought if you were important, you would have a number of slaves and that you would live among the upper class persons, holding exceptional rank and privileges. And you would wear lots of jewelry and flash and nice garments among the common people. He came into a world that was greatly influenced by power. The Roman soldiers rode around on prancing stallions, and they had shiny armor on and the big plumes in their helmets. And they went around giving orders to people, and people obeyed them very quickly because of the fear they had of the Roman soldiers. So when we think about Jesus, He didn't come in to this world riding a prancing stallion, but He rode on the foal of a donkey. He came with no possessions, no jewels, no material wealth, and the world was really unimpressed with Him. And it rejected Him, it mocked Him, and it crucified Him. So 2,000 years have passed since then, and we aren't too different in our culture from the Greeks and the Romans. You know, now we're impressed with brand names, and we still want to wear just the right clothes and drive a fancy automobile and live in the right neighborhood. Yet Micah, to him the Lord said, walk humbly with your God. It's not about the material things that we have. Because someday we're going to leave this world. And you know, the only thing we are going to take with us are people. Those that we're in relationship with. People are going to be in heaven. We're not going to have our fancy cars or our fancy big houses or our gems or jewels. None of that's going to be there. But the people that we have loved, the people we've been kind to, the people that we have shown justice to, our families, we pray, are there. We walk humbly before the Lord. And it's interesting when you think about these three gifts, money can't buy them. And you don't have to be talented to give them to the Lord. And everyone here can offer this to the Lord. To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We can bring them to the feet of Jesus. And I believe when we make that commitment in our heart, we will have the best Christmas we could ever have. I'm going to call the elders to come at this time. And we can still play the song, right? The title of the song is, I Give Myself Away. What God wants is us. What people need is us. They need some time. They need you. Have you ever met a person that you know you could always count on them just to send some money, but they will not give of themselves in any time whatsoever? Have you ever met someone like that? Do you know what I'm talking about? Throw money at the problem, but don't think that I'm going to come and help you out in any way personally. You see, God wants all of us, and He wants us to be willing to give like He was willing to give. So let's pray, and then we're going to play this song, and it's just 5 minutes long. If you want prayer this morning from one of the elders, just come on up, and you can receive prayer, and then we'll finish out our service with a Christmas carol. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your gift of Jesus Christ and Your gift of salvation and eternal life. And God, just search our hearts this morning. God, as we consider, what is it that we are presenting to You? What gift are we bringing You? What heart decisions do You want us to make, Lord, each one of us individually, to present it to You? And Father, we thank You that during this time, this next 5 minutes, Lord, that we just spend that time with You in Jesus' name. Amen.